everybody is struggling with their health, okay? All of us have some or the other problem. If it's digestion problems, if it's not that, then probably you don't sleep well at night or you're tired. And all these small things, how do you place all these traditional knowledge in today's modern world?
If you go to a traditional Chinese doctor or an acupuncturist, they will remind you that how important is like the simple things. They will ask you, what are you eating? How are you eating? What do you enjoy doing? Basic questions. Then they also pay a lot of attention in this prevention, food, sleep, exercise. These three key parts.
What it means to be a man and what it means to be a woman, like how women need to be more feminine, men need to be more masculine. What do you think about that as per your Chinese medicine?
In couples, it's important that there is a balance. Doesn't matter who is having this role. And maybe there are different phases that there are different roles. What I observe in myself that in some groups I'm more the yang and in some groups I'm more the yin.
Do you feel at times Ayurveda and Chinese medicine, they clash with each other? Is there any instance where they don't say the same things?
I think that if you understand both of them in a deep level, they don't contradict much because they just use different words and metaphors to explain the human being. But in a surface, or when you read the vocabulary, the storytelling, it's different when you are learning. And sometimes it can feel that it's contradictory.
Hi, everyone. We're going to have a fun conversation today because the person I'm talking to happens to be a very dear friend of mine. I'll move on to her to let her introduce herself. Hi, Bruna. Thank you so much for joining me today.
Thank you to think about me and to invite me here, actually. And when you told me, I was like, I'm not sure what to say. But yeah, I think it's very nice to share this space with you. Thank you.
I thought of you, yes, because I've always found you to be a very sorted person. Like, I don't think you're very complex, neither in your behavior nor in your thoughts. And it goes with what you do. So I'm going to tell you to introduce yourself first. What do you do?
So yeah, what do I do? So I'm Bruna, and right now I'm teaching traditional Chinese medicine and yoga. So I'm combining this traditional Chinese medicine that I studied plus yoga. So mostly I'm teaching in yoga teacher trainings, and yeah, I'm sharing traditional Chinese medicine and mostly with yin yoga.
Okay, and how did you get into the traditional Chinese medicine and yoga? Were you always inclined towards alternative medicine, or was it something that just came to you one day?
So when I was 18, I went to India and I was there for 3 months. And then I got introduced to Ayurveda and I wanted to study Ayurveda. I just finished my high school. And then I was in Kerala and I was very lucky and I just went to a university and I really liked it. They were like farming. It was a proper Ayurveda college and I wanted to study there Ayurveda. And then I applied for it and I don't know why they didn't allow me. Actually, I had like an interview with the manager and he said, no, you come next year. And I was like, but I have all my papers, you know, and he was like, no, you are not ready next year. And I said, okay, so yeah, what to do? And then I went back to Barcelona and I studied nutrition. At the end, I didn't wait 1 year because it was that moment in my life that I thought that 1 year was a lot. And I was like, I will not wait 1 year. I will just study nutrition. But in my mind, I had this idea of the Ayurveda approach, you know, this like more holistic way of food and lifestyle. And then I did my 4 years of nutrition in Barcelona University and I learned a lot, but I didn't learn anything about holistic medicine because actually in nutrition in Barcelona, what I learned is a lot of small molecules and active principles, you know, very small things. I wanted to see some big picture of life and I just get introduced to very small particulars. I learned a lot, I enjoyed. But then something was missing, and when I finished nutrition, I joined a 1 year course that it was like naturopathy, and they were teaching a lot of small things like homeopathy, herbal medicine, and one of the subjects was traditional Chinese medicine. And I had a very good teacher. And I was like, okay, this is what I want to study now. And thanks of him, actually, I really enjoyed how he was sharing traditional Chinese medicine. And then I joined a master in acupuncture and Chinese medicine in Barcelona. I did 3 years, and then I went to China to keep studying there. And I was in China for 1.5 years. So, yeah.
Okay. That's amazing. So you went to China as well, and you continued over there. What was it? Was it a PhD or?
Yeah, I started my PhD, but I didn't finish. So I finished my master's. And then actually when I arrived to China, my intention was to do just 1 year, like 1 year practical. But then when I was there, they said, you can join a PhD if you want. And then I was like, wow, great, I will do it. Because my first year in China, I really enjoyed a lot. It was very magical for me to be there in the hospital with a lot of patients, with this moxibustion smell. For me, China was very, very different. Like when I went to India, I felt it was different, but I felt still close to it. In China, I felt like, oh my God, I'm in another planet. And it was very stimulating for me, that feeling also. So I said, okay, I will do this PhD 5 years. But after 1.5 years, it was too much for me. And then I just went back to India. And I was there for 5 or 6 years. Yeah.
So then how did yoga happen? After China, when you arrived to India, was yoga the next obvious step?
So yoga already started when I was in India for the first time, actually. When I was 18, I was practicing yoga already. And then I was practicing on and off, and I was going to some courses. I was going joining classes in China. Actually, I was practicing. We had a gym nearby the college, and I was practicing a kind of yoga there, and also I was doing my own practice. So yeah, yoga was already there when I was in China. Even though when I was there, I had to practice as well Qigong, because when you study acupuncture, also you have this Qigong subject. And I was also learning from a teacher with my two friends. We had a private teacher, and we were practicing in the morning, the five elements. But I always was more, my thing was more yoga always, than Qigong. Probably I also spend more time practicing yoga than Qigong, and everything, you need time. So I was doing Qigong with the teacher, but my own practice, and in the gym, it was yoga. And then one February, in China, February usually is a month off in the university because it's this new year. And I went to India for a yoga teacher training course, 200 hours in Rishikesh with a very nice, good teacher. And my idea was not to teach yoga, it was just for me. And they told me that it was a good teacher with a lot of philosophy and very simple practice. That is what I like, not fancy asanas. And then I went there, I did 1 month, and I was like, okay, I like it, but I never thought about teaching yoga. It was not my thing. I thought that I was more into therapeutical stuff, one-to-one. I always imagined myself working like a therapist, but for the last almost 9-10 years, I've been more like a teacher than a therapist. Or maybe both, but more like a teacher. So yeah, this is how yoga came.
And how do you manage now? Have you been able to merge your knowledge of Chinese medicine and Ayurveda and yoga, or do you keep it separate? How do you work?
I keep it together mostly because I teach making this bridge between one and the other. But I'm always very clear when I teach Chinese medicine into a yin course, for example, that we talk about meridians. I always make very clear that Chinese medicine, it has Qigong, Ayurveda, it has yoga. So they are already complete systems. They are not very far away one from another, but they are different. And that nowadays we are mixing them. I don't think it's bad, but it's a thing that we are doing, no? That if you go to a traditional Chinese doctor, they will recommend you to practice Qigong. And if you go to an Ayurvedic practitioner, they will recommend you to practice yoga. No? And nowadays, me and others, we are mixing And I think it works. And for me, one of the nice things of teaching Chinese medicine is that it opens a new perspective to students. So I think it's very healthy for all of us to see life from another perspective. And Chinese medicine, also Ayurveda, they have another perspective, but I think it's and that's why people love it, I think, because it helps you to see things in another way, like with this theory of five elements, that everything is interconnected, that the important things are the relationships between the elements, how do we interact to each other, all this knowledge, wisdom that Chinese medicine has. And it helps a lot in a personal level when you study it.
And how did it affect you in your personal life? Because like I started this conversation, I started it by saying that I always found you very sorted, like a very calm personality. Were you always like this?
No. I like that you think that I'm calm. I'm calm in some things, and I have also a lot of, how to say, I think I'm very similar than you in the aspect that we like to do things, no? That we like to keep moving, no? Like this feeling that, and I have this. So I'm always in some little project. I like to see myself and my people around me, like making steps, no? I like this way of staying that sometimes I can feel that, oh, why you are not more calm and enjoying what you have, you know, already?
Yeah.
This is sometimes, two faces of the same person. And I think Chinese medicine helped me a lot to accept a little bit better who I am, a little bit better, me and the others. But this traditional Chinese medicine respects a lot how we are and how we are as a unique being, and that we are a gift for the world, all of us. And I think this is what helped me to accept me and the others a little bit more. Still a lot to do, but I think this is what helped me more.
And do you feel at times Ayurveda and Chinese medicine, they clash with each other? Is there any instance where they don't say the same things?
Actually, the five elements theory, it's already different. No, we don't have the same elements in Ayurveda and in Chinese medicine. In Chinese medicine, we have metal and wood. Yeah, and in Ayurveda, we don't. Mm. I think that if you understand both of them in a deep level, they don't contradict much because they just use different words and metaphors to explain the human being. But in a surface, or when you read the vocabulary, the storytelling, it's different when you are learning. And sometimes it can feel that it's contradictive. For me, how I look into it is like we have a mountain that is our being, and you can have a mountain where you can have a map of the flowers, a map of the how to hike, a map of the birds. And these maps are showing the same mountain, but different aspects of it, no? But it's the same mountain. They are talking about the same. So for me, it's the same with Ayurveda and Chinese medicine. They talk about the same. They just point out different things. But if you put one on the top of the other, they're talking about the same mountain, about the same being, and quite similar approach. So, yeah.
Okay. So let's talk a bit about your time in India, because you were there for a long time. That's where I met you. And we started with a prenatal yoga teacher training, and somehow we became friends, and then we stuck for a long time. How was that experience, being in India for so long and then coming back to Europe?
I enjoyed my time in India a lot. Actually, I'm going there in 3 weeks again for 2 months and a half. So, yeah, I felt very connected to India. It's, I know it sounds like a cliche, but when I was there first time when I was 18, I had this idea of I want to be here. And then I went back after almost 7, 8 years, and when I just landed, I was like, wow, I forgot I wanted to be here. I really feel good. And I like the different kind of people, I like the colors, I like the conversations, I like how Indians look at things, this very big, different kind of beings at the same place. Yeah. I know that India has many faces, and this is just my perspective from me being from Barcelona. I mean, I know that there are many things, many layers.
So,
but I always felt that India is very accepting in general.
Yeah, I guess because there's so many types of people in India themselves. Plus, so many schools of thought, so many different philosophies that exist at the same time. So I guess it's easier for them to be accepting of people from other places. I mean, there's less judgment. I think there's a lot of curiosity. So that makes them more accepting. Maybe I'm wrong, but yeah, that's what I think. So, but you've traveled extensively in Asia, not just India and China. You've been to a lot of other places, huh?
In India, and then I also went to Nepal, to Thailand, to Bali, yeah, but always like for a short time and then back to India. Yeah.
So now coming back to Barcelona?
Coming back to Barcelona, it was difficult because it was during COVID. That's why I came back. And it was like April 2020 that it was a difficult decision because I was living there and then I had the option to come back. So it was difficult. But I really, now that I'm here, also I don't live in a city, I live in the countryside. So I also changed a little bit the life that I have here now in Barcelona. When I went to Asia, I was in a city. Now I'm in the countryside. But coming back to Europe, I also enjoy some things that before I didn't notice. So now I really like olive oil. I really like having my family. I have a very big family and I really appreciate having them nearby. This is something that when I was there, I miss them, but I was not so aware how much I really need them. Now that I have them nearby, I realize that they are very, very important. I'm very happy to have them close by. And also my friends from childhood. I have many friends from childhood and we are still friends. And this is also very nice. And yeah, sometimes I feel that here I'm much faster. It's like my life is, I do more things in India. It was okay for me to be a little bit more relaxed. Here sometimes it's difficult. I feel a little bit guilty if I'm not productive. I need to remind myself that I'm not here to be just productive. But in Europe, I feel that's why I like going back to India when I can, because there I can be a little bit more contemplating, and it's easier for me to slow down. Here it's a little bit more difficult. Everything goes very fast.
Do you think this coming back and then realizing how much you need your family, and because I remember when we used to speak in India, we would also talk about the problem with having a large family and, you know, normal things that friends talk about, families and stuff. But now that you're back and you think how much you need them and stuff, do you think it's also part of the healing that you have gone through with all the practices that you've done, even with yourself over the years?
I think this accepting myself a little bit more, this helps me to be able to enjoy my family and my friends from a better place and to be more open. Yes, for sure. I think it helped me to be these years a little bit far away from all this reality, because I could find myself better. Maybe here also, I don't know, because I was not here. But this perspective also, when I was in India for all these years, people didn't know who I was here, no? So it's also, it's a great opportunity when you're in a place and people, they don't know anything about you. Now with Instagram, it's getting difficult, actually. When I was in India, I didn't have Instagram and I had a Facebook account, but I was not using it. So we didn't know about each other. No, when we met with you also, we didn't have this Instagram.
Yeah.
Now when you meet somebody, you need to be careful, because if you go to Instagram, you already know all this information.
Yeah.
But I think it's a great opportunity if you are in a place and you are just you at that moment, they don't know all your background, and you just start from a fresh start, and they don't look at you from the same perspective that when you were 15 years old. This was very nice. This was very important for me. Traveling also, you meet a lot of people, know that they are very different from your friends and your town. I was very lucky and met very nice people. This also helped me a lot to grow and to find my way of living, because I saw that there are millions of ways of living, not only the ones that my family and my friends were doing here. So, yeah.
And then you met the love of your life over there.
I think so. Yeah. I met Akash, and now Akash is here also. So yeah, we are both.
Okay.
Yeah.
So tell me now, in today's modern world, and especially now that you're back in Europe, how do you think you can use the knowledge of traditional Chinese medicine or Ayurveda for that matter in the modern world? Like, where everybody is struggling with their health, okay? All of us have some or the other problem. If it's digestion problems, if it's not that, then probably you don't sleep well at night or you're tired. And all these small things, how do you place all these traditional knowledge in today's modern world?
I think if you go to a traditional Chinese doctor or an acupuncturist, they will remind you that how important is like the simple things. They will ask you, what are you eating? How are you eating? And how do you sleep? What are you spending your time? Like, are you worried? What do you have in your mind? Like, what do you enjoy doing? Basic questions. And then they also pay a lot of attention in this prevention, food, sleep, exercise, these three key parts. And if you are going to a therapist, that you are going there because you are asking for help, and you find somebody with these three basic questions and you listen, probably you will start making changes. You will feel motivated to just pay attention and how are you doing these basic things. And this is very important, because this is the beginning. And also this gives the power to the person, because it's not about taking this pill or checking that blood test. It's about things that you do every day with your time. So it's your responsibility. And I think this is very important. Yeah. And at the beginning it can feel heavy, but then you feel that you have your power back, no? Okay, I decide how I want to live. I want to change that, so I do it with the help of this therapist. So I think this is very important, that they remind us the basic keys to have a healthy lifestyle.
So what, in your knowledge, like in your experience, what are the basic things that we are doing wrong that is really disturbing our lifestyle and all the problems that we have, modern life basically? In your experience, are there any commonalities that people come to you with? Like, you think, oh, again, it's the same problem,
I think one big problem that a lot of people come and share is this feeling that they are living in a way, and at the same time they want to live in another way, and at the same time in another way. You know, it's very difficult to find somebody who feel satisfied. I'm doing this, I chose this in my life, and I'm just walking this path, no? Work, studies, family. Yeah. There is always, I'm doing that, but I want to do that also, and a little, we also call it like lack of commitment, but sometimes it's like that we are a little bit lost, and we want to be in many places doing many things at the same time. And this creates, it's tiring for the body and the mind, because we are not doing one thing, we are doing five. And when we are tired, life it's not so easy to serve, no? So I think being tired is one of the main problems that we have nowadays. And the question, why are we tired? Maybe it's because of this, because we are having many lives, no? We want to work, study, have family, also to be sporty, to learn a language, to all at the same time. And there are some people that they can manage because they have the power and the energy, but most of us, we don't have this power. We need to really rest, and we need to do, to enjoy what we do. And maybe in 10 years we do another thing, but just try to enjoy what we have now. So yeah, I think the biggest problem is that people are tired. We are tired. It's very common that that the energy, the vitality is quite low. Yeah.
And what is the solution to that? To be content?
I think to be content, to make things simple, to understand that to enjoy, it's possible to enjoy if we are enjoying one thing. To enjoy five things at the same time is, I don't know if it's possible for somebody, but usually it's difficult, no? If you want to play with five toys, you will not have fun, no, with the five of them. So, yeah, I think to have simple pleasures and, yeah, and be with one thing. And then we will have more energy. Yeah. And then when we have more energy, we enjoy more because we have more vitality.
And is it also that all body types are different? Everybody is different. And we all have different limitations, basically. Not all of us are meant to achieve the same things. Which is something we've lost because of social media. Because social media, we're all competing with each other all the time.
Yeah. Yeah, social media is another problem. It's not a problem, but it makes our problems more difficult for sure. Yeah, because we compare all the time. It's made for that, and we are just doing it. Yeah, we have different purposes, we have different ways of doing things, and we should be connected to what we do and how we do it. It sounds simple, but then...
Yeah. Yeah, but it's not. Yeah. Especially also the whole debate between what it means to be a man and what it means to be a woman. Like how women need to be more feminine, men need to be more masculine. What do you think about that as per your Chinese medicine?
So I think, for example... In couples, it's important that there is a balance. Doesn't matter who is having this role. And maybe there are different phases that there are different roles. Mm-hmm. So I think what creates a good connection and harmony, if we're in a group of five people also, that there is this yin and yang balance. I don't think it's so important if females or males or who is doing. And I really like the idea, at least what I observe in myself, that in some groups I'm more the yang and in some groups I'm more the yin. You know, for me it always depends which ingredients are. And for me it's important to be in groups that I play a different role. So to be able to move from my... If I'm only leading things, I like to be in a group that I'm there just following what another one is leading. And I think this is very helpful for me. and I'm using my two sides, yin and yang. And I like to observe society like this, that we all have this yin and yang, and we just play according to what is needed.
Exactly. I think I agree with that as well. Yeah. Even you can find this similarity when we talk about the goddesses in India. You know, especially now with Navratri just finishing, if you were following that, the nine nights of the goddess. And you see, the goddess is in a different form all the time. She's not just feminine and docile, but then she comes into this very masculine energy also, where she's a warrior. And so, yeah, I kind of agree with that, because all of us have this yin and yang, and all of us have this masculine, feminine energy. And we all take up different roles as the situation demands. And putting us into a thing saying women need to be like that or men need to be like that is just creating divisions. And correct me if I'm wrong, I somehow also feel it's coming more from the West. I feel the West, for some reason, has been a very patriarchal society, even though they think we are the backward countries of the East and everything, where women don't have rights or don't have an opinion. I still feel, and especially now after I live here, that the West is a very masculine society, is a very patriarchal society. And they have really, you know, sort of given these roles that women are supposed to be this, men are supposed to be this. And here, for women to find their voice, they somehow are losing their femininity.
And men also. Whereas, and not only men.
But
whereas in the Eastern societies, I feel, it's accepted that the woman can be a warrior and can be feminine at the same time. Obviously, there are problems in societies, but whenever there is a problem which is specific to society, you can't really say that it's culture or it's tradition. Traditionally, what I'm saying is that it was more acceptable for women to have, you know, powerful roles than over here. Also, the religion as such, all the Abrahamical religions, God was somehow only a man, you know. It was always the Father, the Son, the Holy Ghost. Like, women were always pushed to the back somehow, only in a role where they were meant to be followed. So what do you say?
I never thought about this connection with the Indian goddess, that it's very similar to what I think about yin and yang. They are just faces, and a healthy society and a healthy person for me is somebody who is able to adapt to what is needed in the society, in the family, this more warrior attitude. Sometimes it's a healing attitude that you need for your being to have it. So, And this yin and yang in the West, it's, I think, because the men went to one extreme and then the females into the other extreme, because we always want to have a balanced tally. No, we always want to have something balanced there. And then if one go to extreme, the other one needs to go to the other extreme. If we are all able to move from one side to another, then we can all play in a more smooth way. Now I have this quality, then the other one. So I do think that in the East, men and females, men are less yang and females are less yin. Yeah. I think it's not like divided like this.
Yeah, even in South America for that matter, I guess. That's why, have you heard those things where they talk about the women being very strong, and it's only they talk like that in Eastern societies and South American, where it's still, you know, very cultural and very traditional. Where they say, oh, these women, they're strong, they're fiery women, you know, they talk like that about women. But I think it's just the perspective of seeing women also in their yang sometimes.
Yeah, and the yin and yang, also how we understand it from here, it's in a very superficial level.
Superficial.
It's something to reflect. To it's very it the line is not a straight line. It's like this, and you can think, and you know, it's there is a little bit of misunderstanding about this. I think if we allow ourselves to be a little bit more spontaneous, and we all will feel yin and yang, because we are yin and yang, and we'll be able to do what is needed. So, so, for example, I'm the youngest in my siblings. We are six, and I'm the youngest. And when I'm in that family system, I have some qualities, and when I'm in another system, I have another one. So, and I think this is healthy, that nobody stays in one. I think it's hard when they say you need to be in the, you are this role. This is this will not help me and will not help people around me, because I have more to offer.
So what, according to you, a healthy person looks like? Like, even when you're treating people, like, I don't know so much about Chinese medicine, but in Ayurveda, they talk about the three doshas. You know, so you're trying to balance the doshas all the time, the pitta, vata, kapha. So, according to you, what does a healthy person look like?
A healthy person is somebody who has vitality, that they are... you can see that they are connected to the moment. I know that this sounds, but that you can see that they are the reality, that they are here, that they are present, that they have this look that they are here, that they are present, that they are connected. And usually they move in a very beautiful way, that you want to look at them, like how the expression, the hands. They also have the will of helping others. I think this is also a sign of a healthy person, because that means that they feel that they have enough, and that they can share, they love, can help, whatever, but they are not isolated. They have this open manner. And yeah, and that they adapt. They don't get stuck into things. They just keep flowing. And they have some determination, but always adapting, and no fight. No, not a lot of inner fight.
Yeah, I guess that's very important, inner fight. Yeah, that's something to think about as well. So, Bruna, do you have any upcoming courses, and... where do you teach now? Do you teach only in Barcelona, or...?
I teach in Barcelona, in Tarragona, that is a town 1 hour south from Barcelona. And I'm also doing some courses in Germany, and also in Cádiz, in south of Spain. So mostly I'm teaching five elements, the theory of five elements, and also we talk about yin and yang, and yin yoga. And yeah, then I also teach some longer courses, but these are only for residents in Barcelona. So yeah, the ones that I'm teaching open to everybody are near Barcelona, Cádiz, south of Spain, and Germany.
Okay, and do you do any online courses?
Maybe 2020, maybe next year, there will be one online course. Yeah. And maybe I come to Sanskriti.
Yes, that will be a pleasure. Yes.
Website will be there like next week, I think. So you will see all my courses there. Bruna Pons Movement.
Okay. And that's your Instagram handle as well.
Exactly. Yeah.
Okay. Thank you so much, Bruna. Thank you for taking out time to talk to us today. It was a real pleasure. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much. Thank you.